This is Wendy Erickson. It's July 27th, 2011. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library, and today I'm taking the oral history of Ashton Friedenberg. Ashton, would you please spell your last name?
My name is Friedenburg.
Okay. And when and where were you born?
I was born in 1934.
Were you born here or Kalamazoo?
Bronson Hospital.
Yep. Okay.
Parents were residing here at 2114, currently East G Avenue. At that time, it was Town Line Road.
I see. And what are your parents' names?
My mother's name is Laurine, L-A-U-R-I-N-E, and my father's name is Elwin, E-L-W-I-N.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Maiden name was Thomas.
Okay.
T-H-O-M-S.
And so, were they from here?
My father was from Kalamazoo.
Okay.
At the time when he met my mother, and she was from Kentucky.
Ah.
Area near Paducah, Kentucky.
Okay. All right.
Down the river bottoms.
I see. Okay, where do you live today?
I live at 8230. I get it right yet. 8230 Land O'Lakes Drive.
Okay. And how long have you been there?
Been out there 11 years now.
Okay. So you told me you did not work at the Kalamazoo Vegetable Parchment Company. You didn't work at the mill. Or you did work at the mill. I did work.
I worked back in 51, 52 era.
Okay.
51, 52, 53 maybe.
Okay.
Era. I was started out as a janitor in the main office. Then they put me across the railroad tracks to the west there in what was the personnel department.
Okay.
At the time.
Oh.
And
what'd you do?
And I just went in there at night, evenings, and
okay.
Go in there and sweep,
sure,
mop, dust,
okay,
the whole routine, clean the place up, empty all the ash trays, waste baskets, and everything, you know.
Were you a full-time employee?
I was just part-time.
You were?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just worked at late afternoons, evenings that time.
And you did that? Did you do that for the years that you were there?
What was it? I worked that because I worked in the main office for a while. I started out there, but I spent most of the time across the tracks. Probably a year or two of summer, mostly summer work, after I got out of high school, and then I believe. But anyway.
Okay.
Then I picked up a job up on the far north end of the mill was a specialty department up there. They called it specialty.
Okay, sure.
I don't know exactly because all I did was work. It was right up there, the furthest end of the building toward G Avenue.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
I worked up there. I can't remember what all I was doing now. Just shifting loads around and stock and everything.
Okay. Okay.
So it was interesting.
Did you go to school here?
Yeah.
You did.
Went to Parchment School from kindergarten through the ninth grade. I was graduated in 49, June of 49.
From ninth grade or from Central?
Ninth grade.
From ninth grade.
Ninth grade.
Then, okay.
Then you got a handful of nickels from the school, and you could ride the bus every day to Kalamazoo Central High School. On Westridge.
Who gave you nickels?
The school did.
Which school?
Parchment.
They did?
Yeah. Parchment gave us coins or nickels. It was a nickel or a token or something. I always thought it was a nickel, but anyway.
Okay.
Nickel or tokens, and we got to ride the
Was it the interurban? Was that still around then? No, that was long gone.
City buses.
City buses. Okay.
Interurban was out of operation at that time.
Okay.
No, but the city bus came up to G Avenue, and Riverview and G Avenue.
Yeah.
And that's where I had to catch it, right there in front of the gas station.
Yeah.
Which was run by, oh boy, Holmes.
Okay.
Trying to think of his first name.
Oh, that's all right. But you get on the bus there.
Got on the bus there. And then the bus turned around at the intersection and headed back into Kalamazoo.
Well, and how many years did you do that? Three years?
3 years.
Where did you go to get your pick up your nickels or tokens? Where'd you get them? Literally. Where'd you go get them?
I think we did. I thought at first we started getting tokens or maybe nickels. But they came from the school. I don't know how.
Yeah, but did you have to go to the school and get them?
I can't remember that.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember.
Well, that's
but
a new
then,
story.
Then I think that you got to a point or something maybe that the, if I'm right, maybe we didn't get any. Maybe it was only a nickel ride anyway.
Okay.
But the school paid the bus system.
They did.
To transport all of the students from Parchment to down to Central High School.
Oh.
So if you were on the, now not everybody went to Central. Some of them
right.
left.
Yeah.
Went to private schools or Catholic schools, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
So then they had to worry about their own transportation. But if you went to from Parchment to Kalamazoo Central, they paid for your transportation.
They paid for your transportation.
So and a bus would take us from G Avenue all the way down to West Central High School on Westridge. It was a straight shot, no transfer, because that bus went on down Southwestridge.
Right.
And came back.
So all of you kids gathered at the same place. There was one.
No.
Was there one pickup place? No.
Every time there was a bus stop, there were kids standing there picked up. So you could get on any bus stop in Parchment.
Yeah.
The kids were there.
That's kind of a big perk for going to Kalamazoo Central, isn't it? If your transportation is provided.
Well, they probably had to pay tuition. Our tuition too.
Oh.
Somehow, Kalamazoo Central had to get paid for our coming to school there.
Oh.
So Parchment had to pay that because Parchment didn't have a high school.
Right.
And we paid the taxes, school taxes and everything to Parchment for our education, but then they got to the point that
must have been
they didn't have
some arrangement. Sure.
Yeah, they had an arrangement there with Central High School.
Anyway. What did you do after high school?
Oh,
did you join the service? Were you in the service?
No, I was never in the service.
Okay.
Right after I got out of high school, they sent me to Detroit on the bus. The military did, and I got over there, and I had a letter in my hand, and they, when I first got in line, I handed it to the first guy I came to, and he said, "I'll take care of that for you," and I started in. They started examining me, and first or second state, I got through one or two stations, and a fellow walked up to me and says, "Here's your paperwork. Go back, get on the bus. You're 4F. Goodbye, bye."
Oh.
And so they kicked me out.
Okay.
I was glad you were happy. I was happy to see that.
Yeah.
At the time, Korean War was going hot guns, and at that time, all I could see was me going over there and getting shot at. And I didn't like the idea.
Right.
And so when they told me to get back on the bus, it was a relief.
You bet.
And for me at the time. But since then, there's times I wish I had gone on.
Yeah.
But I had a convulsive disorder at the time. And I was having seizures. And we were trying to get it under control.
Yeah.
And it was a mess. But when they found out what I had, the problem I had, they didn't want me. So it's just like, and I've got relatives or friends that are obese, and they tried to get into the army, and they won't even touch them today.
Right.
They're just too big.
Yep.
We don't want you.
Right.
If you're over a certain weight for your size.
Right.
We don't get you.
Exactly.
One of them wanted to go into the army, The Army says, you're too heavy. So he went over to the Air Force and says, we'll take you.
Oh.
But since he signed up, he's lost a lot of weight.
Of course. He was
practicing for football, and, you know, and he did all the exercises and eating a lot and everything, and he had all this weight on him. When he quit the football season, he lost the weight. He could have gone into the Army, but the Air Force got him.
Yeah. Let's talk about Parchment a little bit.
Okay.
You went through school here.
Right.
So, what did you guys do for fun after school?
After Parchment. School?
Were there playgrounds?
There were...
Playground equipment?
There was playground equipment at the school.
At the school.
In the elementary school. Behind the school, there was swings and...
Was there anything in the park?
Slides,
there wasn't anything in the park yet. Was there?
Yeah.
Kindleberger? Was there some...
As I recall, there was probably... There was, of course, there was a park down here where the tennis courts
mm-hmm.
are now.
Yeah.
There were ball fields down there.
Yeah.
And then now they moved them up on top of the hill and
right.
put the tennis courts down below.
Yeah.
But, and they still got, I think down there on the east end of the ball field, there was some slides and swings.
So... But you guys hit all that stuff?
We didn't.
Not too much?
I didn't do anything there. I went home.
You did?
Because I had my own swing set at home.
I see.
Oh, my dad built a nice swing set for
us. I see.
Two swings, but
yeah.
Big, heavy construction.
Yeah.
It was as nice as anything they had around here at the school, even.
So you have do you have brothers and sisters?
I have one brother.
One brother. Older or younger?
He's younger than I am.
He's younger.
For 2 years, so.
Okay. Okay. Do you have children, Ashton?
I got three boys.
Three, and where are they?
Two are in Kalamazoo and one in Lansing.
Are you a grandfather?
Oh, yes, I'm a grandfather. I am old enough to be.
How many times are you a grandfather?
Twice.
Twice a grandfather.
Yeah.
Great.
The middle son
Great.
Is the only one that had any children.
Okay.
And the oldest one,
All right.
he didn't have, and he was reluctant at the time when he was married, and so... He never produced anything,
mm-hmm.
and the youngest one, he and his wife had a bunch of medical problems, and so
okay.
they did some counseling and decided not to have any children.
Yeah.
And they could get along fine without them.
Sure.
And so I've got one granddaughter and one grandson.
Okay. All right, let's talk, we got off track. We were talking about Parchment.
Oh, Parchment. Oh, we want to talk about Parchment.
So what was, you know, what was life like here in Parchment?
I don't know. I didn't do a whole lot.
So you didn't play sports in school,
no
probably.
No sports. Never did.
Did you guys have a big garden behind your house?
Oh, we had a big garden, all
you
right.
You did. You know, other people I've talked to have said the same thing, that you just did.
Yeah.
You had a garden. Well, it was the war.
Right.
World War II.
Well, Mother always had a garden. I mean,
yeah.
Dad plowed up a big spot. War and a war. They had a huge garden.
I see.
But,
and she put things up, probably.
Yeah.
Canned things.
Yeah. Did a lot of canning.
Yeah. You know, I have heard some kids went door-to-door selling vegetables.
We did a little bit of
that,
too.
Did you do? Just to earn some money, or what were you doing?
Yeah, just pin money for us. And, you know,
wife,
I went out and I picked some tomatoes and cucumbers.
Sure.
And whatever, you know.
Yeah.
We would take them out and go down the street and in the neighborhood or
right.
wherever we could walk to. And
yep.
and we didn't do too much of that.
Mm-hmm.
What we did do is that folks had, behind the house was cherry orchard.
Oh.
And had cherry trees and apple trees.
Boy.
And cherries were in a big demand.
Oh.
And they would go out... if you've ever picked cherries, it's a sticky mess.
Yes, it is.
Because you have to keep them sprayed well, and then, of course, you pick them, and they're all covered with a spray and everything. They
yeah.
have to be well washed
yeah.
before anybody can eat them.
Okay.
And, but we had, I can't tell you how many trees. At least a dozen or better cherry trees.
Did you sell stuff out of your house, out of the front yard, out of the backyard, or what'd you do?
No. Dad would go to work, and he worked here in the main office, on Island Avenue.
Okay.
And he was an accountant.
All right.
So he'd go into work and, you know, the word got out that he'd be talking to somebody. So we got cherries, you know, and we're starting to pick cherries. And somebody says, well, gee, would you sell some of those? I'd like to buy some cherries.
Uh-huh.
And he sold all the cherries we could pick. You didn't have to put them out on the street.
Really?
The people in the office there would love to get his cherries because they got fresh cherries.
You bet.
Recently, he would go to... I know times that Mother and Dad would get up in the morning, the break of daylight, go out and pick 16 quarts, a case of cherries.
Okay.
Before he went to work at 8 o'clock.
Wow.
And this was... I mean, this is not an easy job.
Exactly.
And they'd get out there and he'd pick all these cherries and he'd run in the house. He'd get washed up, dressed, put a case of cherries in the trunk of the car.
That's
and
right.
off he'd go to work.
Yep.
And whoever ordered them, he walks in with a case of cherries. Here's your cherries. You know, they're fresh off the tree.
Holy smokes. That's some good eating, isn't it?
It was. It was great. And people just loved them.
You bet.
And
so you weren't really picking cherries. Your dad was picking cherries?
Or were you picking cherries too?
You did?
Oh, my brother and I got into it.
You both did.
And of course, we couldn't pick as fast as Mother and Dad could.
Yeah.
And we didn't get up that early in the morning either.
Right. Yeah.
But, they'd get up and they'd get it done. And we'd pick cherries, and then we had apples, and we'd sell apples, or we put apples in storage. We had a fruit cellar.
Yes.
Down the hillside.
Sure.
Where it was like the base of an old silo.
Yep.
And actually it was silo parts that the dad built this fruit cellar out of.
I see.
He and his father dug this big hole in the hillside.
Yep.
They put this silo. It was probably about, when it was all finished, you could stand up in the center of it.
All right.
And so it might have been close to 6 feet tall, right in the center of it.
Right.
And, but it was...
cold storage.
Close to five feet or something on the sides. But it was pretty good size.
Yeah.
And it had a door in it, and... they'd take and put crates of apples in there in the wintertime. Late fall, they'd put them in there. And they'd have apples all year long.
Really?
Because it was ground temperature, beautiful refrigeration.
Yeah.
Because it stayed cold enough to preserve the apples, but they wouldn't spoil.
But not freeze them.
And they wouldn't freeze.
Not freeze them.
They had a solid door they'd put on there in the wintertime to keep it from freezing.
What an excellent idea.
It was, but it was ventilated in the whole nine
years,
and it still exists.
Yes.
So. So it's still there. It's something that'll never go away unless somebody. Deliberately goes in there and destroys it.
How about your house? Your house. How big was your house?
The house.
The house you grew up in. How many bedrooms?
Three bedroom.
All right.
Two upstairs, and an attic.
This wasn't an old mill house, was it?
No, not
a mill house.
This house was built in 1929.
I see.
After. The original farm burned in 27.
Ah.
In 27, we've got paper clippings about the fire in 27.
Okay.
And in 29, my dad and his mother moved into the new house.
Oh, okay.
His mother bought the farm.
Yeah.
42 and a half acres with a farm on it.
Okay.
House and the barn and silo and everything. Grass fire started when a Thursday, come through and hit from the west and hit the took the barn, the silo down, and went to spread to the house, burned the house down. My grandmother was at home. The only thing that she salvaged out of the house was her parrot, canary. She had a bird.
Okay.
Had a bird anyway. And she had a bird and a dog. The dog didn't get out of the house. He got caught in there and died in the fire.
Oh, boy.
She got the bird out, and that was about all she salvaged out of the house.
And what was that address then? Did you say it was Town Line?
It was 986 Town Line Road.
Okay. And what township was it in?
Kalamazoo. Was it
in Kalamazoo Township?
Kalamazoo Township.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in the township then. Because
yeah,
that wasn't
then.
Part of
yeah.
the Parchment City. That
okay,
Parchment
sure.
Parchment City didn't come along until, when was it, the 60s.
Oh, Parchment City, end of the 30s, I think.
No.
Parchment,
no.
End of the 30s?
No.
No? Okay. Well, I'm not from here, so you're probably right.
I mean, that was Parchment. No,
There's a sign down the road, and oh, I can't recall it. By the Corner View Cafe, there's a sign, and I can't recall what year it says on it now.
Oh, is there a year on it down
yeah,
there?
Yeah, I think so, but I can't recall now. Yeah.
But that's not
because the
that's
mill,
not Parchment.
The mill started in 1909.
You said, where is the sign at?
It's down by Corner View Cafe, I think.
Oh.
Up by G and
right.
View.
Yeah,
there's
I
a
know.
Sign. There's a sign on the side of the road right there, the side of the street.
And
I can't remember. And
it
I
has
thought
a date
it says,
on it?
I thought so. But anyway, we could speculate about that forever.
Right.
But anyway, you were in Kalamazoo Township at 986 Town Line Road. And this was your grandmother's farm.
Yeah, originally my grandmother's farm.
Your dad's mom.
Yeah.
Your dad's mom. I see.
They bought that in the 20s.
Okay. So did you didn't live in that. No, of course you didn't live in that house.
Not the original farm.
Not the original farm. But then a house was built there in 1929.
29. They
that
built.
House had three bedrooms.
Yeah.
Did you have indoor plumbing eventually or not?
Oh, yeah, we had it.
You
all,
did?
Had all.
Okay.
Everything was there. I mean,
okay.
All facilities.
Yeah.
It had a coal-fired furnace
oh,
in
yeah.
the basement.
Coal.
And the heat
the
went
coal
right,
man.
He went right up the stack,
yeah.
you know, or up the, in through the floor.
Yep.
In the between the living room and dining room, there was a register.
Yes.
And all the heat come up there, and I heated the house.
That's right. How about an ice box? Did the ice man come?
No. We had a refrigerator.
You did.
Electricity, plumbing, all that.
You didn't have an ice box that you needed a. Okay.
No, we didn't have an ice box then.
Oh.
Now, I go down to the farm in Kentucky, and they had an ice box.
Yeah.
But. No, we had full refrigerator, electric
okay.
stove, and
yeah.
everything.
Okay, all right.
Then in the late 40s, Dad decided that needed a better heating system, and
yeah,
he put in a hot water boiler.
Hot water boiler.
So
okay.
He had hot water convectors throughout
yes.
the house, and that still exists today and still works.
It does.
Yep.
They do. Oh. In the 40s he did that, did you say?
Yep. Late
40s. That right?
It's 49.
Okay.
I'm saying it was 49 or something, I think, when he put that in.
All right.
Because he put in the heating. He had this all in his head and he was working on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kalamazoo Oil Company had something to do with the installation of the furnace.
Okay.
Because they've taken care of the furnace every year since then.
They have.
Yep. I always call them in the fall and says, come clean it out, do whatever.
Because they're still around.
Yep.
Yes.
I still do business with them.
You do?
Yep.
And okay.
They supplied him with oil and
yeah.
the furnace, the oil, the whole nine yards, you know. And
okay.
So it's
great. Yeah.
Been one of those things. There's the back porch. You drive around there. There's a horseshoe driveway around the house.
Okay.
And you go behind the house, and you see this nice big porch behind the house here. Stone wall around it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And see, gee, that's pretty nice. Why is it such a big porch? Well, it's got to be big because Dad designed it that way. And inside of that, he poured three concrete cradles and put a 1,500-gallon oil tank underneath the porch there.
Oh.
To supply the oil for the furnace for a whole year. You fill it up once a year.
Is that right?
Yeah. Fill it up once a year and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. Okay.
Of course, it's expensive when you do fill it
yeah.
up. I mean, at the price of oil.
Yeah, you bet.
So the last time I put any oil in it, I put 300 gallons in it.
Did you? Yeah.
I said, I'm not living in it, so.
Yeah.
Just for.
Yeah.
Purpose that it's
sure.
there.
Sure. Do you remember your neighbors when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? Did you all get along, or?
Oh, yeah, I got along pretty good. Most of them, yeah.
Yes?
I got along with all of them, really.
Yes?
I didn't have any. There was one boy next door. He and I scrapped once in a while. Outside of that, I got along fine with his brothers.
Okay.
All the other kids I had no problems with.
But you would fight with this one kid. Were you like the same age, kind of?
Yeah, we were the same age.
Okay, so, just get into it a little bit.
Yeah. He teased me a lot.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
But I lived with it.
Yes.
I got through it.
You got through it?
He's dead now.
Is he?
I do believe so. He was such a... Oh.
Was he kind of a bully?
In a way.
Yeah.
Sometimes he was.
Sometimes,
When he picked on me, he was a bully.
Yeah.
But he was the only one I had any real problems with that I could... He was the worst one of the bunch.
All right.
To me.
Okay.
But we got along and played most of the time together anyway.
Sure.
But on rare occasions, you know.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah.
He was... When he got out of high school and everything, he ended up going in the Army.
Yeah.
And which was good for him. He came out of that and he became a minister.
For heaven's sakes.
Scared the tar out of me. I mean, I never expected him to do anything. He wasn't the type of person to do that. And he went into the ministry.
Something happened, didn't it?
Yeah. So I don't know.
Wow.
But I never saw him again.
Oh, I see. So, he moved away.
Yeah, he moved. Yeah. He went south, and to the best of my knowledge,
right?
Now, he had two other brothers and a sister.
Okay.
Yeah, his sister's still in the area.
Do you remember last name of this family?
Yeah, McCarty.
McCarty.
Yeah.
Okay.
McCarty.
Okay, there was a McCarty at the mill, wasn't there?
Yep.
Yeah.
His father's name was Don.
Okay.
His oldest brother was Don Jr.
I see.
And he had a brother that was Don Jr., Bob, and John.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I remember. And then there was a daughter with Mary Ann. And Mary Ann's still in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Bob is still... Bob, I think, is in Florida.
Okay.
Don is dead. Mm-hmm. He recently died here a few years ago.
All right.
And their mother passed away here a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
How about some other neighbors? Last names?
Families.
What families?
That was to the east of us. To the west of us was Zernicki.
Okay.
Julius Zernicki and his wife. I can't remember her name. They had several children.
Mm-hmm.
Mary was my age. She had a brother that was just older than she was, named Paul, and he had some physical problems. His brothers picked on him a lot.
Oh.
But, and then she had one or two older brothers, or older sisters,
okay,
so forth. So,
yeah.
But
how did you kids get around? Do you have bicycles?
Bicycles, yes.
Yes.
I mean, we went everywhere on a bicycle. You know, we didn't go into Kalamazoo too much.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a ride.
We'd go into Parchment here.
Sure.
You know, if we wanted for something.
Sure.
But we weren't city folk. We were country boys, and we wanted to go out in the country. We go up north of here to Spring Brook, play in the brook, hike up to, go on up, follow the railroad track on up north of Spring Brook, east of Spring Brook from Riverview.
Yes.
And go up the track there. And
lots of woods here. I mean,
lots
of woods here
lots
when
of
you were a kid.
We went up there and romped around in the hills and woods and so forth and just had more fun.
Sure.
Of course, we had some trees behind us, our house, behind our house. Of course, behind our house was an old riverbed. And if you were to ever go up there, and between immediately north of the high school. Well, there's a dip there by the high school.
Yes.
That the high school driveway comes out of a dip there in the road.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that dip, you follow that, that's an old riverbed.
It is.
Old riverbed there, and it ran down through there to the Kalamazoo River.
Oh.
And so many long years ago, my dad says in the 20s, in the 20s when they moved in there before the farm burned, he says, you could go back there on the hillside. He could, says, I could sit in one spot and pick up seashells and fill a basket full.
Is that right?
Bushel basket full of seashells, but sitting in one spot.
Wow. And,
but I never saw a shell back there. Over time, you know, it all covered up.
Yep.
Vegetation and everything gradually covered it up and everything. And,
right.
It was all gone.
Wow. But,
so he says there's history back there.
I guess so.
And
yeah.
But
all right, so you remember the community house.
Oh yes, most definitely.
And you used to go?
Yeah.
What did you do there? Would you go to they used to have a big Christmas party, didn't they? Didn't you just have a Christmas party?
Never went to.
No?
I don't recall a Christmas party.
Did you go to church in that, in the community house?
Yeah, we went to church there.
Wasn't that the United
Methodist
Church was there in the beginning? I think.
United Methodist Church.
Yeah.
And Jake Kindleberger, being the father of parchment, as you might say.
Yes, you sure.
When my father went to work in 34, Dad went out there and sat on the front steps of the main office. He'd put an application in for work, and they said, sorry, we don't have work, period. We got more people than we know what to do with. And so there was nothing to do. So Dad was persistent. He says, I'm going to get a job one way or another. And he went there, and he sat on the front step every morning. When Jake Kindleberger came to work, he'd walk past him, says, good morning, Mr. Kindleberger. And he'd go by him and in the office. And after a while, Dad'd go home. Every morning he was down there. One morning, Jake got tired of looking at him and says, you still looking for a job?
What a great story.
Says, I'm still looking for work.
Wow.
I didn't want a job. And he says, good, come on in. Took him in, and they put him to work digging ditches. They were putting a 24-inch steam pipe through from Mill 1 North, you know.
Yeah,
and they were digging this big trench down through there, and he gave him a shovel. And says, you go to these people, and they gave him a shovel, and he dug, digging a ditch. That's what he started out doing. What he did after that, I don't know exactly.
Wow.
Up to the point that he got into the office where he had studied accounting. They knew what he was, what he was good at.
Yeah.
But ditch digging was the first thing they had open for him.
Yep.
And he would take anything to earn a living at that point. So he didn't have any other work. And
yes.
And I was, I don't know what time of year it was when he got it. Well, it must have been summertime. So I was born in June, so somewhere, you know, that summer he got a job.
And, okay.
When I was born, and he went to work for
Kindleberger's
then, and they, eventually he got into the office.
Right.
And
do you know how many years he worked for them?
He worked 32 years, I think.
32 years for the mill.
For KVP.
For KVP.
And
okay.
But he had a desk job. Once you got inside, it was all desk work.
For heaven's sakes. What did you like about school? Did you like school?
I never did particularly like school. No, I was not a lover of school. I mean,
did you have a favorite teacher? Even though you didn't like school? Did you like some of the teachers?
Once in a while it was I like probably most all the teachers I had.
Yeah.
I had no problems with.
Okay.
I can't think of the names of my early teachers, kindergarten teachers, or anything down.
Yeah.
Then around fifth grade or something.
You had it. You just almost had it there.
Well, Apple Yard.
Oh, Sally Apple Yard.
Sally Apple Yard.
I have heard so much about her. Yeah.
And she's a wonderful. Was a wonderful person.
Yep.
Because,
and
she always, in the past years, when we've had a class reunion.
Yeah.
She always showed up.
Yep.
And.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, she was very memorable. Lots and lots of people really loved her.
And Ken Roos.
Ken Roos, sure.
George McDonald.
Okay, yes. I've heard, sure. Yeah.
Ken Roos is the only one that I ever had any problems with. It wasn't a big problem. I mean, he had a problem with me.
Ah.
He was out teaching a first aid class in the spring.
Yeah.
And... you take us out on the lawn south of the school building there,
mm-hmm.
and we'd all sit out there under a shade tree, and he would teach first aid outside because it was just nice to be outside.
Yes.
And we got through with the class, and I was just sitting there twiddling. I had a little stick of wood, you know, I kept breaking it off and twiddling it.
Yeah.
And I took and I flipped a piece of it, and it went up, and he was thin on the top side.
No.
And it hit him right on top of the head. He turned and surprised him, turned and looked, and I was the only one there, and he walked over to me and grabbed me by the collar of the shirt, back of the shirt, and the seat of my pants, and picked me up and shook me.
Did he?
Put me down, and it was never a word said.
I see. Just a little discipline right there.
Right. I got disciplined, and that's the last time I ever pulled a trigger like that one. And he never did say another word about it. Well, I never forget it.
Never forget that. No. No.
So, it was interesting.
Let me, you know, we did not cover, what did you do after, what kind of work did you do in life, Ashton? Have you left the mill? What did you do?
Well, after school,
mm-hmm.
Area, I worked trying to...
He's got his head down and he's thinking.
I'm trying to think of the name.
What kind of work was it?
Worked at a gas station here.
Yes.
It was a standard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here in Parchment?
Yeah.
Yep.
In the corner of Riverview and it's where the...
is it right over here by Parchmount?
Yeah, right in the Parchmount, where the
Panoplate.
Print shop.
Where the Panoplate is.
Yeah.
The
Panoplate is.
Sure,
There was a gas station, a standard gas station on the corner,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a brick building behind it.
Okay.
And so that brick building may be Panoplate or there may be, I can't remember, it's been so long I've been.
Wasn't there a car company there, a car lot there for a while too?
No, that I can't remember.
Okay. All right, I could be wrong about that. Okay.
But anyway, I worked at the gas station. Joe.
He's thinking again.
Yeah, it'll come to me after a while.
Sure will. Yep.
And Foster.
Joe
Foster.
Joe Foster.
Owned the gas station, and he lived across from the school right here on Riverview.
Okay.
It would be, actually, which is the first house north of Glengyle.
Okay. Yeah.
There's some businesses right here on the corner. There's an insurance company or something in there now.
Yes.
And a parking lot. And the first house was Foster's.
I see.
He had a daughter that was in my class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of her name anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
Names forget me. And, I worked for Joe at the gas station, and when he didn't have work for me there, I kind of did a car wax job, washing wax cars.
Yeah.
Behind the gas station, and his customers come in, and they eventually found out, you know, that I would wash cars for them.
Yeah.
And
somebody'd
drive in and say, "Hey, they worked at the office. If I drop my car off here in the morning, can you wash it for me?"
Really?
And then they'll come back and pick it up.
Now, I said, was this still part of Foster's, or did you have your own little business back there?
Well, it was all Foster's, but he didn't hire me to do this.
Yeah.
I wanted to do it. And so
I see.
He just gave me permission to wash cars and use his water supply and so forth.
Sure.
To do for his customers. So I'd wash them and wax them and so forth, whatever needed.
Yeah.
And,
so customers, business people, or just people from town would drop their cars off.
Anybody who wanted to drop their car off, I would take care of it. Anyway, wash and wax it. But the only one I can remember was Frank Clark, owned the pharmacy.
Yes, he did.
And he had a maroon Hudson. And he brought it over one day and wanted to know if I would wax it for him. And I says, yes.
Yes.
Okay. And I started in and I started waxing. Boy, this thing, it ain't going to come out real pretty like, but I'll do the best I can on it. So I waxed it. I worked all day on that thing.
Did you?
Nighttime he come back and he got it and he took a look at it and he says, that's not good enough. That's not good. He says, look at it. It's no good. And he went and complained to Joe. Of course, Joe made me do whatever he wanted done. He says, just take it out back, do it all over again.
Mm.
And I found out right then and there how you had to do a wax job on a car. And that was to make dang sure that it was real clean to begin with. And then you had to rub, and you rub, and rub.
Oh, sure.
Because that maroon paint on that Hudson oxidized and turned dull. You had to rub all that old dull paint off before you could get a shine on it.
Oh, my word.
And I scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed.
I bet you did. Boy.
I spent 2 days scrubbing that thing to get it clean.
Did you?
To get the wax back on it.
Right.
He liked it when I got done the second time around. It was a pain. I learned then that if it doesn't shine when you get through rubbing, if you think that wax is going to make it shine later, it won't.
It won't.
You've got to make it shine the first time around.
Okay.
Put it on and rub it off.
Yeah.
And keep going until it shines. Yeah. And when it shines, then you can move to another spot.
There you go. Because that was extremely labor intensive.
I learned a lesson.
Yeah.
There are chemicals or conditioners out there now that will cut through that. Of course, the modern paint jobs on a car nowadays, they put this clear coat on, you don't have that problem.
Completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different from when you
were. But you get an old car that doesn't have a clear coat on it.
Yeah.
You can bet you're going to have to scrub it real good when you wax it.
So how long did you work there?
Oh, that was a couple of years, maybe.
And then what'd you do?
Summertime, just sometimes.
And then what'd you do?
Well, I worked there, and I can't remember what all I did there for a while.
Mm-hmm. Did you always work in Parchment or work outside?
No, I worked outside Parchment,
too.
I started, I went to work for International Harvester, and this was a few years later, and in 1956, I got married, and I was working at I went to work at International after I got married.
Okay.
Yeah, before that, I sold Singer sewing machines.
Yeah.
Vacuum sweepers.
Sure.
Serviced them.
Yeah.
Servicing was something I liked to do.
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you, I went to college, too.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay, where'd you go?
I wondered what happened to those years.
Yeah.
No, when I first got out of high school, I went down to Tri-State College in Angola, Indiana.
Okay.
Because I had talked to a lot of people, and somebody says, well, they've got an accelerated course down there. You can get through 4 years of education in 2 years' time.
Okay.
And get an engineering degree.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, boy, this sounds like fun.
Right.
Well, first of all, you've got to be a darn good student to begin with, to go down there. And I was just barely good enough to dig my way out of a hole in high school, you know. I was not good at, I didn't apply myself toward
Okay.
And never did like to study like that. So
okay.
When I went down there,
yeah, that's pretty rigorous.
I signed up. I went for the first term, and
yeah,
at the end of the term, they called me into the office, and they says, either you make up your mind and go home, or we're going to let you go.
I see.
I says, don't worry, I'm on my way out. I already see the handwriting on the wall.
Yes.
I was not cut out for it, so
okay.
I came home and puttered around, whatever, until the next fall.
Yeah.
And I was signed up for Western, and I studied 2 years auto mechanics.
Sure.
And so I got a 2-year certificate in auto mechanics, which included all the other classes that I had to go through there, welding and drafting and history or some math. I had to take trigonometry, which I didn't care for. But other than that, the sheet metal and welding and all that stuff was helpful in my later years, because I learned how to do a lot of things there that, even though I was studying auto mechanics, I never was an auto mechanic.
You weren't?
Nope. But went out to get a job, and the first question they asked me when you go into a place is, how many years of experience have you got as a mechanic?
Yeah.
No, I'm just out of college. I've got all this, training and everything. I know what to do.
Sure.
But you haven't got experience.
Yeah.
No, how am I going to get experience? Well, in 5 years you come back after you've got experience, and then we'll talk to you.
Right.
And I finally found out that I could go into a gas station, and they wouldn't let me put a wrench on a car. You can pump gas, you can change the oil, but you cannot, you can wash the windshield, but you cannot put a wrench on it or a screwdriver to a car.
Oh.
And they wouldn't let me do anything, regardless of what you know or you think you know.
Okay. And,
so if you haven't got a big title or something, or license, or a lot of experience, they don't talk to you. So I found out that wasn't going to go anywhere. So I went to auto parts stores.
I see.
Like Neil's Automotive. I worked for them
behind
the counter as a parts man.
Sure.
I worked for International Harvester for a few years.
Okay.
As parts man.
Yeah.
And then I began servicing Avedic duplicating machines.
Oh yeah, sure.
Mimeograph, Spirit,
you
offset.
You bet. I remember them well.
Easiograph. And,
I've worked on with those.
Right.
You bet.
And I serviced all those. I did that for 6 years.
Okay.
And that was doing pretty good until one day the boss got real nervous and fired me because he thought I might say something to his boss, who was in Lansing, about what he was doing down here with the secretary.
Oh, no.
And
for heaven's sake.
He was playing around with the secretary, which he didn't think his wife knew anything about, but I think she did, because shortly after he fired me, she divorced him. And he, at the same time, his boss in Lansing fired him.
Oh, what a mess.
I mean, he got what he's coming around.
I know, but you got fired.
I got fired
in the middle of all that.
So, which was a blessing in a way, because then I went out looking for work again, worked Shakespeare's for 1 week.
Yeah.
And on assembly line, and I had been around placing applications. Doubleday's called me on a Thursday night and says, would you like it? You're still looking for a job?
Yeah.
Even though I had one, I said, I've got a job right now, but yes, I am still looking.
Sure.
And he says, well, come on in. And I went in on Friday, and they walked me through the shop, and before I was done, he says, if you want a job, be here Monday morning.
Great.
I went to work and spent 31 years there.
You did? Did you retire from?
Yeah, I retired from Doubleday's.
And what did they do?
Huh? They were printing.
Printing?
Yep.
Printing. Yeah.
Well, they sold office supplies. They had a store up front.
Okay.
You could buy office supplies of any kind. But we printed. I ran small presses. We did a lot of form printing.
Mm-hmm.
We printed. I printed checks. I printed ballots for mm-hmm. elections.
Okay.
I printed dog licenses.
Uh-huh.
And these are things that a lot of time, especially on dog licenses and other forms, that had to be numbered when they were run.
That's right.
You don't stamp it. We had
right.
the machine we printed had two units. One unit would print the copy, put the black ink on or whatever, and then a second unit right behind it was a numbering unit.
Right.
And we put numbering machines on, and as it went through, it sure. printed it, and then combed out. And when the sheet went onto the receiving tray,
yeah.
you had a completed copy, and then we sent it on down to the bindery, and
right.
they were all these dog licenses that some county would order or something, you know.
Yeah.
It was all done.
Right. Great. We're getting to the point where we're going to wind up. I have one more question I got to ask you.
I got more stories.
I know you do. I know, but we're getting
okay.
to the point where we're going to get full here on this
okay.
on our CD. What would you like people to remember most about parchment?
What would I like them to remember the most about?
Yeah, I mean, was it a great place to grow up? Was it a friendly town? Did you?
It was friendly. Yes. I had no problems.
Because it's changed, of course. You know, it's different now.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of people here that were here when I was around, too.
Okay.
Or I still know a few people around town.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a nice community. I'm not knocking it. Because I did grow up here. But I think I'd want people to remember the paper mill. Don't let it go down without being remembered.
Really? Okay.
Because of course, you know from experience and all your books and everything that that's not the way it started out.
Right.
What was it when it started out?
When the mill started?
Yeah.
You mean the old beet factory?
Yeah.
Yeah, the old sugar beet factory.
Sugar beet factory here.
That's right.
And then they went downhill, and Jake Kindleberger bought it from them. And
the town grew up around the mill, not the other way around. Yeah.
Right.
We're here because of the mill.
Right.
That's right.
Jake built the mill and added to it. And
you bet.
He could foresee that what was going to happen, and he made it happen.
He certainly did.
Like I say, he built that community house
for
the people here.
Mm-hmm.
It was a center of activity.
Right.
I mean, men came down here and played basketball in the wintertime or whenever.
Right.
They had a lot of social activities going on. Halloween, there was always big Halloween party in the gym back there.
Yes.
And my brother and I would go to that. Mother made us costumes, and we always won a prize.
You did?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Regardless of what we wore, we got a prize, and usually first prize.
Your mother must have been great at that.
She was good.
Yeah.
She had an imagination, and when it went to put something together, I said, we wanted to go to the Christmas or the Halloween party, and we need a suit. She made up I got pictures of suits that she
made.
Oh, great. And she had an imagination, too, that she'd, we went, the front of a box had a big Venetian blind on it, like a over a window, you know? Hung at the top, and you could raise it up and down. Okay. And had a couple holes inside there so we could see where we were walking, and carried this box around. And we walked around in a circle, marched around there on our own.
You know,
they'd pick out the best costumes. And they says, what is... They pulled us in the center and says, okay, now, what is this supposed to be? And I says... Blind Venetian.
Oh, my word. Oh, no.
Not a Venetian blind, but the blind Venetian.
For heaven's sake.
Is what we were portraying.
Oh, that's great.
So,
that's
little
great.
Things like that. But Jake had the community house, and of course, you had your church and all your activities, the men's club and everything that went on there.
There was a gymnasium there. There was a health clinic there.
Yeah. All kinds
That's
of
That's right.
Everything was centered around that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when Dad went to work, when Jake asked him to come in, and of course he was asked, says, what church do you go to?
Oh, yeah.
And Dad says, I don't have any particular church. Jake looked at him and says, I'll see you in church Sunday.
Yeah.
You will go to my church. If you have no other denomination or nothing else that's tying you down, I'll see you in my church Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's where Dad went to church.
That's right. Yeah.
So
there are many stories like that, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ashton, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Wendy.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you shared all this with us. We really appreciate it.
Good. Thank you.